This is Mitchell Dye with Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
Joined on the line now by Carmel Franklin, Chair of Financial Counselling Australia. Carmel, good morning.
Good morning, Mitchell.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it. And we've seen a rise in bankruptcies in the June quarter, is that right?
That's right, we have, yes.
And why might that be the case?
It's always hard to say because it's the first time it's been a rise for a while. But what I guess a couple of things we could comment on is that the more significant rise has been in places like WA and Queensland. So quite likely that has something to do with the resources boom slowing and the flow-through effects on the economy. And I think the other issue that might be at play, but it's always hard to know for sure, is that we've had significant Commonwealth public service cuts and over the last 12 to 18 months, and it could be that we're starting to feel the impact of those now, with people having been unemployed for a while and no longer able to manage the loan commitments that they have.
And this is the first quarter where bankruptcies have gone up for quite some time, isn't it, since March 2014?
That's right, which is why it's always difficult to know what the reason might be, because it's been a significant time and, in fact, bankruptcies have been slowly declining. And over the last 12 months, there's still been a decrease in the overall number of bankruptcies. So I guess you have to be cautious when you try to work out what might be causing this increase. But given that in WA we're seeing a higher increase there, I think you could probably suggest that the flowing of the resources could be having an impact.
In more general terms, what causes someone to become bankrupt, both at a personal level and, I suppose, at a corporate level as well?
Well, what we see primarily is people become bankrupt either because of addictions that they have, perhaps gamblings or drug and alcohol, or because of a change of circumstance. So we're seeing, for example, a lot of people who have been working, earning quite good incomes, who have lost their jobs and haven't, in fact, been able to get work again as they had anticipated. They've had a high level of debt, which they were able to service. Once their circumstances change, they haven't been able to do that anymore. And the other reason is small business. A lot of small businesses do it tough, and if they fail, then small business owners, especially sole traders, can be left with significant levels of debt that they just can't pay.
And at a personal level, what happens if you become a bankrupt? I mean, it must become very difficult to then apply for any further loans and debt and that sort of thing.
It's a decision that people don't take lightly, and that's why I think that quite often what happens is, say people lost their job 15 months ago, it might be now that they're starting to contemplate bankruptcy. They will have gone through every other option in the meantime, but it will impact for the next 7 years whether or not they can get any other form of credit. If they're in private rental or applying for private rental accommodation, it might affect their capacity to get that, because you might have to list it on their form. And it really depends on what kind of debts they have as to whether they're all covered or not, and on what income they're on, as to whether they'll actually have to make a contribution into their bankruptcy during that period of time.
And what are some of the other options that people might decide to take, and paths that they may decide to go down before they have to then make that ultimate decision of becoming a bankrupt?
Well, I certainly think that people should first seek assistance from a financial counsellor, and we've got a national phone number because we can talk through all of the options. Part of the reason bankruptcies have been decreasing, I think, is because the banks have in place better hardship policies over the last couple of years than they've previously had. So it's good for people to know whether or not they have other options around negotiating different arrangements, or having breaks from having to pay debts for a period of time while they're sorting things out. So I would look at that first. Sometimes people choose to go into a debt agreement, which is another form of insolvency, but that isn't always a better option than bankruptcy. It depends on whether they have assets or not.
Mm. And in terms of the financial counselling, what sort of services can people have access to, and how does that entire process work? Because I imagine a lot of people out there wouldn't be familiar with how financial counselling really works, and they may be struggling along, and there may be services out there that can really make it a bit easier for them.
Sure, sure. Well, to access is a national phone number, 1-800-007-007, and initially people can at least get some information over the telephone. So by providing information about what their circumstances are, we can let them know options that they have. We a lot of services also provide face-to-face, so a financial counsellor can in fact advocate with a creditor on behalf of the client if that's required. And there is also a debt self-help website where people could go in and have a look, fill in some information and find out online what options might be available to them. All of those services are free of charge.
And at what point should someone seek financial counselling? Should it be when they're sort of already in over their head, or can anyone just go in even perhaps before they get into debt or get finance for something, just to make sure that they're doing the right thing and they're on the right track?
Look, at all of those points, people could make a phone call. In reality, we generally find that most people contact us after they're in debt and wanting to know what their options are. I would say sooner rather than later, because the longer you leave it and the more you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, the harder it is and the more limited your options might be to get out of it. So if you first find that you're unable to make a payment, look, the other option is you ring your creditor straight away. Don't hold off on doing that. Ring the bank, ring the utility provider or the telecommunication company, explain the situation, ask for extensions of time. The sooner you do that, the better. And in terms of talking to a financial counsellor, it's better not to wait until you're on the edge of bankruptcy before you make contact, because it might be that your options by then are quite limited.
And are people typically embarrassed, you know, and reluctant to go down that path of financial counselling, because sometimes the most difficult step can be putting your hand up and saying, yes, I have a problem?
Absolutely. There is such a huge shame issue. But the thing to note is it can happen to anyone. Ill health, relationship breakup, unemployment that you weren't expecting, all of these things can happen in our lives, and we can find that one day we're doing quite well financially and the next day we're not. There's also a lot of people who are on chronically low incomes who find it harder and harder to manage as prices increase. So financial difficulty can impact on lots of people, but unfortunately there is that aspect of feeling like I should have managed better, when in fact that might not the case at all.
And I do see here that debt agreements fell by 10.1% while bankruptcies increased. I mean, what do you think is the reason for those differences?
Look, again, it's hard to say. Debt agreements, sometimes people go into debt agreements when in fact perhaps bankruptcy would have been a better option for them, because they could never really meet the payments of the debt agreement. I think people go into debt agreements when they've got assets that they are trying to protect, and in bankruptcy they might lose them.
Yeah.
But there are some people who go into a debt agreement who ultimately find they still can't make those payments, and they end up in the longer term going into bankruptcy.
And what's the main difference between becoming bankrupt and also personal insolvency? Because I did see that agreement level did increase by 8.3%.
I guess insolvency just covers all of those things, bankruptcy and different types of debt agreements. So, you know, that there's some people who go bankrupt. And some advantages of bankruptcy is that if you have been tearing your hair out for a long time, trying to make payments, trying to negotiate, being unsuccessful in that, not being able to meet the payment, sometimes it provides you with a fresh start. It's wipe the slate clean and start again from this point. And that's why people might choose that option. For a debt agreement, it might be that, look, you can't make the payment, you can't make full payments, but you can go into an agreement where you can make small, regular payments toward all of those debts that you have.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Carmel. I really appreciate it. It's been a really interesting look at those different scenarios and perhaps a bit of speculation on perhaps what's going on out there.
Yes, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, Carmel Franklin. They're the Chair of Financial Counselling Australia.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.